everybody, and welcome to the Anna De Volantes Show. Anna has the week off, much deserved, and I'm filling in. I'm Ji-Suk Yee. Thanks for keeping it right here on WGN Radio. If you celebrate Christmas, hope you had a fabulous day yesterday with family and friends and loved ones and had a lot to eat and a lot to celebrate. If you don't celebrate, you can celebrate the wonderful weather, that's for sure. In studio today, I have Bella Gandhi. She is the founder of the Smart Dating Academy. Bella is probably familiar to you, but there is a reason why she is in studio today. And Bella, you are saying that today is a very important day in the dating world. The day after Christmas, super, super important. Why is that?
So think about it, right? We spent time celebrating holidays and you kind of lose yourself. And if you're like one of almost 48% of all American adults are single in this country, right? So the day after Christmas, what are people starting to think about? Themselves again. And if you're in that group of singles, guess what? Today's important, like G said, because it marks the beginning of peak dating season. I know, maybe you've heard it called cuffing season. Maybe you're feeling like, yeah, you know, it's so warm outside, it would be nice to go on a date. Well, guess what? Almost half of adults are thinking the same thing and driving mass amounts of people to the dating marketplace starting today.
I follow you on Instagram, and can you give out your Instagram handle for people?
Yeah, for sure. We're doing a lot more on Instagram. It's at Smart Dating Academy. We're doing lots of DMs, Instagram lives. We answer everybody's questions. So definitely follow us on Instagram.
I saw a meme posted on your Instagram, and it said, a percentage of adults are single. You are not the only one. Yeah. What was that percentage?
48%. This is a U.S. Census Bureau-based number. There are 118 million single adults in this country. And that's 48% of all adults. So if you feel like you're alone or the last single person, you've been around the holidays with all of your married aunts and uncles and parents and friends, and you're like, oh my God, I am the last single person on earth. I swear to you, you are not alone.
Especially when you're going to every holiday event by yourself, and they're the aunt and uncle is asking you, so anyone special in your life? When are you going to get married? You're getting up there, aren't you? Time to have those children, or you might not be able to down the road. So it's funny that this is peak dating season, because you would think that people would go ahead and try to find that person to cuff themselves to before they have to go to all these holiday parties. But you're saying it starts today.
It starts today, because a lot of people erroneously think that the summer is the best time for dating numbers, right? It's, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Thinks back to Greece and summer loving, right? But actually, it's now. The days are shorter, they're darker, they're colder. And what happens? We don't want to be out divvy biking around the lake or at Art Fest, right? We want to be at home Netflixing and chilling with that special someone.
And you say patience is a key virtue in dating, and you recommend online dating.
I do. I know the upsides. I know the downsides of online dating. And I know if you're, you know, commuting or whatever you're doing, you're sitting there listening to this going, ugh, did we have to talk about online dating? But again, the stats, I'm a stats girl, because I like the facts that 1 in 3 marriages today still take place because of online dating. Is it easy? No. Is it pleasant? Not all the time. Okay, let's just be real here.
You're really selling this, Bella.
I know, but I want to tell you that this is the wrong mindset to have. What I just told you, the right mindset to have for dating this year is, it's 2020. I will find love. It's a when, it's not an if. And thank goodness for online dating. Thank goodness it exists, because I have access to all these people I normally wouldn't.
Well, we're talking with Bella Gandhi, founder of the Smart Dating Academy, and we're going to get into specifics in this hour. She's going to be with us for the whole hour. That means that if you have questions, if you are a single person or you know somebody that's single that you love and want to help them out, be sure to take notes. Of course, this will be posted on the website later as a podcast, so you can refer back to it then on WGNradio.com. But Bella is going to give us actual notes, the nitty gritty on what you need to do to make online dating successful, to make 2020 the year that you find love. And our number here at WGN Radio is 312-981-7200. I probably didn't have to tell you that, but just in case, 312-981-7200. You can text or call in. Bella is going to be definitely taking calls. She'll be returning with us. She's here for the next segment, but she's also going to be returning with us at the end of the hour to answer those calls. So stick with us. There's a lot more coming up on WGN Radio. And yes, today is the start of peak dating season, the day after Christmas. Right now, let's take a break. Okay, our number here is 312-981-7200. If you have a text question or you're an adult right now that is online dating and you're willing to go on a call with us, of course, we'd love to hear from you and talk to you. And our expert today on the Anna DeVellante Show is Bella Gandhi, founder of the Smart Dating Academy. She has just told us that today is the start of peak dating season. It's the day after Christmas. And now we're going to get into the nitty gritty of what do we need to do to find love in 2020. Of course, that's going to be a New Year's resolution for a lot of folks.
A lot of folks, like everyone. You guys, this should be your New Year's resolution if you're one of the 48% of people in this country that are single. Why? Because love is fun. Why? Because there's great people everywhere. And if you tell me, I don't see any of them, it's because you don't think they're out there. You only see what you think exists, right? So start to take on my attitude of what I affectionately called psychotic optimism. Okay, I know the word psychotic is in there, but just work with me here. Well, it's optimistic no matter what, right?
Okay,
Love is going to come to me.
A little bit of what you're putting out there is what you're going to get. What you're manifesting is what will happen to you.
Exactly. If you think there's no good people out there, guess who you're going to find? No good people.
And patience is part of this. We mentioned it before, but you can't just get online dating on an app and then give up if it doesn't work out for you. How long do you have to be on there for, Bella? Just tell us.
You know what, G? It could be one date. It could be 100 dates. But what I can tell you is online dating is like a revolving door. Great people come into the sites and apps every day. Great people exit every day. So you have to look at this, to your point, with patience. You know, one of the things that I understand based in our culture today, we have Amazon Prime. We have Amazon that comes to our door 5 minutes afterwards. But you know what we've started to do, unfortunately, is take this mentality to dating. Well, if I got on an app or a site today, then someone amazing should be delivered to my doorstep tomorrow, like Prime. But that is the worst mindset for this. This is, I'm in it to win it. I'm not in it for a minute. I don't care how long it's going to take me because it's going to take a long time. This is marathon. It's not a sprint.
You said this could take up to 100 dates. It sounds like a lot of work. And have you heard success stories where you've had clients? I know you've had a range of clients, but you've had clients that after a year, 2 years, finally found love that lasted on a dating site?
For sure. You guys, we work with people anywhere from 3 months, 6 months to usually 12 months. I get emails and texts from people 3 and 4 years later saying, I thought you'd want to see this. Engagement rings, wedding pictures, vows. I get goosebumps. This is the best job in the world. And I promise you, if you want to do this and you're ready to roll your sleeves up and get back in there through the ups, the downs, it's like marathon training. What amazes me is people that run marathons. Maybe there's a lot of you listening that have done half marathons, 5K, full marathons. For a full marathon, you have to train for 8 to 9 months. For dating, people want to do it for 5 minutes. For a race that lasts 3.5 hours, we're willing to work 9 months.
It is this mentality of instant gratification. Also, it's a lot of work to go out on a date to make sure that you're readying yourself to not only look good and feel good, but then be vulnerable. It's hard to put your heart out there, especially if you've just had your heart smashed by somebody.
Yeah, it's true. But you know what? Heartbreak is a really tough thing to go through, and definitely don't put yourself out on a date if you're in that really dark tunnel. We all go through those tunnels, right? The thought of going on a date should make you excited, should put a little bit of a spring in your step, because if you're not in a good place, then going on the dating apps and being on dates is an exercise in futility.
Bella, before we continue about which dating apps people should be on and which ones you recommend, I want people to know a little bit about your background. You are not just this person that's, as you said, positive, psychotic.
Psychotic.
Yes.
Psychotic optimist.
You have a you were in business before this, finance, and this is a total turnaround for you because you feel so passionate about matchmaking and finding love for people.
For sure. I had a much more quantitative, analytical background. I did finance. I did mergers and acquisitions. I ran a manufacturing company with my family and then sold it. But the common denominator was all the time I was the girl giving out dating advice, getting over bad dating patterns. I had my own bad dating patterns. If there was a bad person in the room, bring them to me. That's what I was looking for at the time. But I put together my own analysis, which, by the way, forms the base of the pyramid of what we do with people at Smart Dating Academy. I knew that nothing made me feel better and that this was my work to do on this planet. This was my purpose. So 10 years ago, I rolled my sleeves up and started this company and this business, and it's been the best decision ever.
So you applied your business acumen, your analytical mind, your finance mind to create and to, you know, collect all this data. And that's how you built your process.
Yeah, it's really amazing. There is a right way to do this, right? We're not taught how to date. We're not taught anything as a culture. Sometimes some of us get it at home and our mom and dad will tell us, like, this is a good person to date. This is how you should get married. This is what you should feel like. But most of the times our parents are very laissez-faire and they're like, well, I don't want to interfere. My parents didn't interfere with me and let's just see what happens. Let them make their own choices. But here I'm saying, well, guess what? There is a right way to do this. And it starts out with knowing the kind of partner that's going to make you happy, right? And so we date for the wrong checklist most of the time. And so we make choices based on people that are good on paper. And then 7 years later, 50% of marriages end in divorce. It's like, what the hell are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
We need to figure out a better way. So we've got a better way.
And there are statistics that say that people that meet online have a better chance of not divorcing. Is that true?
You know, I've seen those statistics as well, and I think that it's a little soon to be reporting that, but I will tell you there's a lot of truth to it because, like, think about it. You can meet a person in the grocery store or you can meet them online. The difference online is you can read and do a lot more due diligence about someone than you can meeting them, you know, over corn on the cob in the produce section at Whole Foods, right? You can see if this person's, you know, never married, separated, divorced, widowed. Do they have kids? How do they write? What do they have to say about themselves? Do they seem positive? What kinds of photos do they post about themselves, right? You can see all of that online, whereas in person, you've got none of that, except for, you know, you have chemistry, which is great, but can certainly lead us down the wrong path.
This is from a listener in the 773 area code. I'm in my late 50s. I finally found my true love online.
Yay!
Now we've been together for 3 years.
Aww.
So get over it if you don't want to do online dating. This is how adults are meeting each other.
For sure. In fact, so many of our clients are over 50. We have a class that we teach online. It's called Dating Over 50. It's on our website under webinars. There are over 35 million singles over the age of 50 in this country. It's one of the fastest growing demos, right? The kids leave, the last one's in high school, and a lot of couples look at each other and say, I'm not sure we're connected anymore. I don't even know who you are. I don't know who I am. And a lot of couples go for Splitsville at that point. So while January is a big number for dating, it's also a huge number for divorce, not to digress, but it's that time of reinvention.
Well, Bella's going to go over specifically which apps that we should be signing up for and what you should and shouldn't do on your online dating profile. That's going to be coming up at the end of the hour. We're going to be checking back in with her. Also, if you have questions via phone call or text message, feel free to text us at 312-981-7200, or you can give us a call. But we're going to have a lot more coming up with dating and relationship expert Bella Gandhi of Smart Dating Academy coming up. But right now, let's take a break. Okay, a lot more with Bella Gandhi coming up, dating and relationship expert, founder of the Smart Dating Academy. You know what? I just got a text. I've got a couple of texts, and you're going to be answering these questions at the end of the hour. But 847 listener asked, have you ever looked at online dating? Why do the women not make any effort to put up flattering photos of themselves? Such a turnoff so quickly. Now, this is surprising to me because I have seen a lot of the apps, and it seems everyone's putting up the best photos. Sometimes they're photoshopping the photos so they don't look like them, or posting photos of themselves from years ago.
men, I've seen women have bad, unflattering photos. And I think, you know, G and I were chatting about this a little bit during the break. I think people don't know what to do. And they post a photo and they think, okay, well, I didn't get anything with that, so I'm going to take that down and try something else. I'm telling you, post great photos of yourself, 5 to 6 of them, headshots, body shots, look your best, and then show up to the date looking like that. So it is men posting bad pictures, women are posting unflattering pictures. You will not look like you're trying too hard by going out and getting a good set of photos taken. If you have questions, go to smartdatingacademy.com, go to the online profile page, and look at the before and after photos. And all of these people meet people, and we are not photoshopping.
Yes, and you want to post a current photo.
Yes.
You suggest even maybe hiring a photographer. You don't want to look too sexy either. You don't want to look too unlike yourself.
No, you need to look like yourself. If you take one thing from this show, people want to date the person in the picture. Okay? Now think about what that means. Your photos should look like you today. If you were a blonde over the summer and you're darker over the winter, look like yourself. Get those blonde photos off. Okay? This is just common sense.
I never thought about that, how we look a little different between the seasons. Okay, that's Bella Gandhi. We're going to have a lot more with her, of course, 312-981-7200. She is a dating and relationship expert, founder of the Smart Dating Academy. The reason why she's here today is today, the day after Christmas, is the start of peak dating season.
Woo-hoo!
So she's going to have answers to your questions at the end of the hour. But right now, it's time to check in with the WGN Newsroom.
I could sit around, tell you all about how I want to live my life and try to make it happen. And try to make it happen. But right now,
I welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. This is Jisoo Yi. A new Broadway in Chicago musical that everyone is talking about is Mean Girls. Of course, everyone's very familiar with the movie, and we're lucky to have in studio with us one of the leads. We have Adante Carter. How are you, Adante?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for being with us. Oh, sorry. There we go. I turned on the wrong mic there. Sorry about that. So Adante, where are you from?
I'm originally from Rapid City, South Dakota. So
okay.
I'm a Midwest guy as well. But I live in New York City now.
And how excited are you to be part of the Mean Girls cast?
Oh, I'm so excited to be in this. It's like, this movie is iconic. I grew up on it. I probably ran that DVD dry with all scratches because I watched it so many times. So now I'm doing it, which is crazy to me.
Wow. So, and in Chicago, how big of a deal is this for you to be here?
So, Chicago, the Niederlander Theater is actually where I decided I wanted to do theater. I had saw the national tour of Hair when I was in high school back in 2011. So, the last time I was in the Niederlander, I was in the audience. Now I'm back on the stage, which is so surreal to me.
And the weather's been very kind.
Yeah, 60 degrees on Christmas. That's fantastic.
Don't get used to it.
Okay.
Well, in case people need reminding, tell us about the story behind Mean Girls. Of course, everyone's familiar with the movie, but it's been a little while. So,
yeah, I mean, at its core, Mean Girls is a story about a new girl coming to a new high school. She is a foreign transplant student from Africa. She decides to move over to the Americas to get more civilized and from there, she joins into high school, and whatever happens after that, you know, can you imagine being a new kid in high school and what's going to happen and trying to fit in?
And you have to deal with a lot of mean girls.
Yes, yes. I mean, the show is called Mean Girls. She runs into some pretty mean girls. It's just so great to see all that unfold on stage.
What is the difference between the movie and then seeing it live on stage?
So, you know, the movie was written in 2004, so that was 15 years ago. You can imagine high school is a little different now.
Yes.
With social media.
Absolutely.
and all that. So we did some little updating with the script to make it more relevant to today.
And then your character, Aaron Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about Aaron.
Aaron is the guy in her math class that she kind of falls in love with. Just a regular guy, I feel like, in my opinion, but to her, she sees something in me and I see something in her, and we kind of have a romance. But the twist is I'm also involved with one of the mean girls.
Now, when were you in high school, if you don't mind me asking?
I was in high school 9 years, almost 10 years ago.
Oh,
it's crazy
okay.
to say, yeah.
Wow.
2011, I was a senior and I saw Hair at the Niederlander.
Okay, so even when you were in high school, it mm-hmm. wasn't, social media wasn't as huge of a thing
no,
as it is now.
It was just, Facebook was just starting to boom.
I can't yeah. even imagine doing high school now.
Middle school with
the pressure of social media. So that's all incorporated in this adaptation.
Yeah, I mean, popularity on Instagram and viral videos, you know, everything can be sent at a moment's notice.
And the musical is good for all ages.
Yeah, I would say definitely there are some innuendos, but it's pretty good for like 10 and up, I would say.
And 10-year-olds are pretty savvy.
Yeah,
all the 10-year-olds
exactly.
I know are going on 30 at this point.
Yeah,
so.
right.
And what do you think the overall message of the musical is? What will people leave the theater with?
Mean Girls, at its core, again, it's fitting in. You don't need to fit in. You don't need to conform. You can be yourself. That's what gravitates people towards you. I know it's hard to, when you're in a new scenario and situation, to want to blend in, but being your unique you, it's going to gravitate people towards you.
And has that been a lesson that has been applied in your life and helped you be successful?
Yeah, yes. I mean, even on the first day of rehearsal, it's like, yeah, our authentic self, what we bring to it is what got us cast. It's what makes people like us.
And when did you know that you wanted to be an actor and a singer?
I you know, it started as a little kid. Ironic, Cats is now in theaters, but I grew up watching the Cats VHS, and my parents were like, wow, he really likes that. Let's put him in gymnastics, into performing and singing, and now I'm doing Mean Girls.
Well, I am standing across from Dante Carter, who plays Aaron Samuels, who is the heartthrob of the entire musical. I mean, that's got to make you feel...
Yeah, I try not to think about it. I mean, it's cool that people see that in me. I think I'm just a regular guy, I guess.
And
but sure.
What has been the most challenging part of this role?
I mean... There are so many things. This is the longest running show that I have done, so keeping it fresh and new every night for audiences is all something that I've learned to deal with, especially being on a long running tour.
And you think that there's a little bit something extra, right, for the Chicago audience
yes.
that you've brought?
Yeah, it was so emotional, again, stepping on that stage last night. It was so surreal when we had our sound check. I was like, I sat right there in that seat. So
wow.
Now I'm here.
It's a full circle moment.
Yeah, it totally is.
Wow. And where do you see yourself going from here? What's your dream?
Hopefully Excelsior. You know, I would like to be on Broadway, film and TV, all of it. Just work, be happy, create art.
Well, you seem to have everything that you need to make all those dreams come true. So we're excited about Mean Girls. And it is tonight, right?
Yeah, we have a performance tonight. We're running for 5 weeks. It's super exciting. You know, the audiences love it. They're very smart here in Chicago. We're finding out they're always one step ahead on the jokes. So that's really been exciting. We are really happy to work with these audiences.
Well, I think people can get tickets by calling Broadway in Chicago at 800-775-2000 or visiting BroadwayInChicago.com. Of course, you can follow Mean Girls at Mean Girls B-Way on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And for more information, you can go to meangirlsonbroadway.com. Adante Carter, thank you so much for being in studio with us.
Thanks
Happy
for having
holidays.
Me. Happy holidays to you.
Yes, and as they say, break a leg. You don't need it, but
you,
I'm sure fantastic performance tonight. All right, well, thank you so much. And right now, it's time to take a break. Okay. See if you can catch up. All right, back on the Anna DeVellante Show. This is Jisoo Yi, still in the festive holiday spirit. I'm here with Bella Gandhi. Bella, we got some questions for you.
All right, bring them on.
I love your enthusiasm. Okay, so this is from the 630. What about dating for someone in their middle 60s, divorced after 34 years of marriage? I can't imagine. That must be a very tough and challenging time, because if you've been married to someone for 34 years, you've kind of intertwined and become one unit in a way.
It is tough. And usually when we get people, they've come through the other side of that. Like the person who's asking this question, whoever you are in the 630, hello, props to you for doing this again. And I will tell you, if I could see your face personally, that the majority of our clients are singles over 50. The majority of them find love. So get excited about your options, about getting into the dating world. It's so, so possible for men and women in their 60s to get out there and find love. Just make sure that you're not making some of the big mistakes that people make in dating. I wish we had an hour to talk about this, another hour and a half. But I would definitely tell you that there is a right way to do this. But just get excited about all the new fish that are coming to sea. I was telling we have a webinar next on January 5th. It's at noon. It's called The 10 Biggest Mistakes You're Making in Dating. If you feel like this might be you, feel free. Check it out on the site. Join us. It's live with Q&A. And I answer every question, as you can see here.
Well, so let's go over what we've learned so far. The main thing is you're going to have to go online dating. That's how adults are meeting each other. Don't be discouraged. There's close to half of adults are single. Be patient.
Go G.
Make sure that you're ready to go online dating, meaning this should make you want to skip a step and be excited about meeting somebody.
Yes.
You shouldn't be down about it. If you're down about it, then maybe you're not ready to go online dating.
Exactly. Then get yourself into a good mental space where the thought of dating excites you and does, as G's saying, put that spring in your step. And it's going to come from your mindset, guys. Your thoughts are real. Change your thoughts. Your thoughts, if you think dating is awful, that's not a true thought.
And then finally, make sure that you're presenting your real self. Invest in some quality photos. Make sure they look like you of not only of this year, not only of this decade and year, but also of this season. Bella says if you get super tan and highlighted in the summer and you don't look that way in wintertime, make sure you get new photos.
Oh, for sure. It's as simple as if you wear glasses in real life all the time, put your glasses on in your photos, right? So many people love people with glasses, but these are the most common questions I get. But just do you. Do the best version of you. Get excited. And if you're thinking, oh, I've been eating too much over the holidays, I'm feeling puffy, bloated, I'm 10 pounds, 100 pounds, whatever it is, look around you guys. Is everybody that you know in a relationship a size zero, skinny, perfect, Photoshop looking? No, they're not. There are lids to your pot. There are many lids to your pot. So get optimistic and start dating.
Okay, so this is Bella Gandhi, and the reason why she's in studio today is because today is the start of peak dating season. You say this lasts until when?
It lasts officially until Valentine's Day.
Okay, so the holidays are over. So the day after Christmas, people start thinking about New Year's resolutions, finding love in the new year, and also just thinking about a little bit more of self-care and what they want out of life.
Yeah.
Which is why this starts happening. Of course, culminating in Valentine's Day, which can either be your favorite time of year or the worst time of year. She can make sure, Bella Gandhi, founder of the Smart Dating Academy, that it's actually the best time of year for you. What are some of the apps that people should try out? And in case you have a question on, if you want to text us or if you want to call us, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. What online apps should we be on?
I like apps that are big and sites that are big. So we've had a lot of clients have success on traditional sites like Match, some on eHarmony as well. Lots of people are meeting people on Bumble, Hinge, Tinder. So pick sites that you've heard of and then give it a try. Again, you're not going to find love today or tomorrow. Let me emphasize that. So have a good dating strategy. Try a site or an app. Do your research. Pick one of the ones I talked about, but give it 30 days. Okay. And then after 30 days, if you're not getting the results you want and you feel like, here's the big caveat, that you've done everything possible to really do things right, then think about changing up a site. But an important tidbit, don't be on more than one or two sites or apps at the same time. You can't be focused.
Oh, wow. So you recommend only one or two?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I know that looks, it sounds surprising. A lot of people come to Smart Dating Academy and they're like, I'm on 8 different sites and apps and I'm still not having success.
Well, I would think that thinking follows, well, I'm going to cast my net really wide. I'm going to be on as many apps as possible just in case this person that's my potential match isn't on this dating site. So you say that's the wrong way to go. Why?
It's too many things. You're going to have dating fatigue. It's so many things to manage at the same time, and it feels exhausting. So my goal with my clients that find love, and they all find love, is to help them to develop that thing that they can do every single day and manage it. And I tell them 15 to 30 minutes. That's all I want you to do on a dating app a day. This is not quit your job and be dating for 8 hours a day. No, it's not sustainable. I'm all about sustainability and doing something that's easy enough for you to do for 15 to 30 minutes a day. And that's 1 to 2 dating apps. Do not do 6, 7, or 8. It just gets demoralizing.
And there is science behind the algorithms and the way that these dating apps match clients.
Yes.
Or profiles.
Yes, there are. There's secret sauce. It's like the recipe to Coke.
Okay, got it. And you're saying that that might be a little bit more reliable than, per se, meeting someone in the grocery store based on sparks or butterflies.
Yeah, sparks and butterflies usually lead us down the wrong path, right? Because it leads to lust, and lust is great, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the person that we're lusting after is going to be a good partner for us long term.
So someone that's listening right now that feels, well, listen, Bella, I want to meet someone naturally. I want to run into them. I want to be picking up the same pineapple, and then our eyes lock together because we fall in love and I feel this chemistry. People want chemistry. Is that something that you can feel via online dating by looking through someone's profile?
No, you're not going to feel chemistry. You're going to say, okay, this person maybe doesn't sound crazy, or they sound... or they look like someone I'd have something in common with. But chemistry is one of the biggest reasons people, you know, kind of get into bad relationships, is you can feel sparks with people. So often we feel that heavy chemistry with a person that might remind us of someone that we dated in the past, right?
Oh.
And so chemistry is not always a reliable source, okay? So if the person seems interesting and nice and you have things in common on date one, but you're not feeling that intense chemistry, guess what? It's okay. Bella, your new dating coach, will tell you, I want you to go out with him or her again. And then if it's another good, okay date, go out with them again. With all of the love stories that we've helped author at Smart Dating Academy, not one has started out with a whoosh of chemistry. Good love can also start off as a slow burn.
Oh, okay. I know that you're anti-whoosh or anti-butterflies, generally. That's what I've found from listening to you throughout the years. 847 is asking, how long should the profile be? And I'm going to piggyback on 847. That's a very great question, listener,
yes, it
by
is.
The way. Because a lot of these apps have questions that you have to answer. And you don't know, should I make this one sentence, three sentences, a paragraph? And it's pretty thought-provoking, and you have to spend some time thinking up your answers.
You do. My best advice is think about how people consume data. Think about what you like to read. Do you like to read paragraphs and paragraphs about somebody? Most people laugh and roll their eyes and say no, right? So make it, you know, on dating apps, they limit your profile to 200 characters, which is basically a tweet and a half, right? So they've basically constrained you. But on a site like Match, you can have 2,000 words. Make it readable. Make it usually 200 to 300 words max. If there's no limit on that, that's what's readable. Make bulleted lists, write small paragraphs, but don't write a dissertation about yourself. Just focus on the things that make you you, your unique experiences. Like if I was going to write G's profile, which I feel like I could do sitting right here because she's amazing and has all these different cool experiences and is so well traveled. And, you know, it's like string together 5 to 10 interesting sentences about you, what you've done, what differentiates you, and stay positive. Don't talk about what you're not looking for. Talk about who you are and what you're looking for. Give someone something to start a conversation with.
The 630 is asking, what are your thoughts on Tinder and Bumble, online dating apps, for a younger person trying to find love a date for New Year's. And do you think people can find a date for New Year's, you know, in this short amount of time?
Absolutely. You can find a date. Now, I think keep your expectations level. It might not be the love of your life, but it might be. So, yeah, today's December 26th. Hell, you could get a date for tonight if you wanted to on your dating app. I could have you on a coffee date at 3 p.m. right now. It's 1:55 p.m. This game moves fast. So you can absolutely have a date for New Year's Eve if you really want to.
So it's Tinder and Bumble for younger people. And then let's go back to the 630 for our listener that's in their middle 60s and just divorced. Divorced after 34 years of marriage. Are there different apps for different age groups that you find they're more successful in?
There used to be, right? And especially when an app is new, like Tinder, back in the day when it came out, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, it was very much a 20-something kind of hookup-y app. And now I've got people on it that are in their 50s, their 60s, in their 20s as well. So no matter what your age, you can use Tinder, you can use Bumble, you can use Hinge. Again, have a 30-day strategy. See what happens. If you're not happy, switch up apps. But there's nothing, there's no bars up on any site that says, do not enter if you are over 29 or if you are, you know, less than 60. There's all, I mean, if you really want a site that's for singles over 50, Match has a property, for example, that's called Our Time. I don't put people on Our Time. If they want to do a site, I would put them on Match over Our Time. Because again, it's a bigger denominator of people.
So casting a wide net, but not being on too many apps. So
yes.
The 309 asked, why must you give your phone number to join a dating site? Why not an email address? I guess a lot of people are worried about their privacy when they join an online dating site.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit of a vague question. Not all sites ask for your phone number.
That is true.
Or your app. So I'm not sure what. Make sure that you're on something that's legitimate and that's not some fraudulent app. But most sites will, you know, you don't even have to give your phone number. I mean, understand that Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, these are all apps. And they sometimes run off of Facebook's API. So they're on your phone in the first place. So, but don't worry about your privacy. They're not disclosing your entire Facebook profile off of that. Be smart and you'll be okay on these sites.
Okay, so you have a very informative thing that's happening. We have about a minute left. I want you to plug Bella Gandhi's you're going to do an Instagram Live?
We're doing a webinar, actually, okay. On Sunday. Sunday, January 5th, is the busiest online dating day of the year. And Match is predicting it's going to be the busiest online dating day ever. Sunday, January 5th. Do not miss it. And so to help all of you that are out there, we've put together a webinar class that's going to happen at noon. It's live. I'm going to give it. It's 60 minutes, chock full of info. And you can sign up on our webinars page on our site. 10 biggest mistakes you're making in dating.
And what's your website?
SmartDatingAcademy.com.
Well, this is Bella Gandhi. Thank you so much for being in studio with us. Happy holidays. Happy peak dating season, everybody. Woo-hoo! The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Lately, I've been thinking, I want you to be happier. I want you to be happier when the morning comes and we see.
Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. Ashley, producer Ashley, great job with that song. We are talking about happiness and taking care of yourself. We just talked for almost an hour with Bella Gandhi, founder of the Smart Dating Academy, about how today is the start of peak dating season, and if she was giving tips on online dating. We're going to continue this mirror of looking at ourselves and thinking about what we want for 2020 and how to take care of ourselves with Dr. John Duffy. He's in studio with us. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Duffy, a sought-after clinical psychologist, best-selling author, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert as well. Also a proud husband and father.
Exactly. Most importantly, that should have been at the top, I suppose.
Yes. Thanks for being with us during this holiday week.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about the holidays. You know, before the holidays, we were giving folks tips on how to survive the holidays and maybe to cope with some of those buttons that can be pushed and triggers that kind of people that are closest to you know how to make sure that you feel, you know, not so great about.
All those family strife kind of issues, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. But now you say even post-holidays, there's a lot of emotional self-care that we need to think about.
Yeah, you know, in my field, we focus a lot on the pre-holiday stuff and the holiday blues for people who've suffered a loss or who are kind of perennially lonely, that gets amplified right at about Christmas time. What we forget about is that there's, for a lot of us, this post-holiday hangover. There's this kind of build-up to all the holidays, and then there's kind of like for a couple of months, and today's probably a terrible example of it because it's beautiful out and people are out and about, but by and large, for the next couple of months, people kind of hibernate and are alone more often than any other time of the year. So loneliness, depression, anxiety, all this stuff spikes in the next 3 months more so than any other time of year. Not
wow.
around the holidays.
You're kidding me.
No.
So this is probably the trigger for this happening down the road.
It's certainly one of them, right? Part of it is weather related, but certainly part of it is that there's all this buildup, this month-long buildup to the holidays. So we get excited about that. And once that's done, we have this kind of post-holiday hangover where we feel like, that was the best part. That was the best part of the year, the best part of the winter. Now that's over, and here we are.
I just imagine, even if you're not suffering from a loss or going through grief or suffering from loneliness, or you're in a pretty much emotionally and financially stable environment, putting away the holiday decorations and saying goodbye to family that are visiting you, that's even hard.
It absolutely is, yeah. And I think we underestimate how hard that part is, right? So in the next few days, an awful lot of people are parting ways. And there's a lot of emotion around that, right? Because, you know, as difficult as it can be to be with family and friends and trying, and we're talking about politics and things that are causing distress and strife, we still love these people and we like it when these people are around by and large. And so when everything goes back to normal, as it were, I think there's a little bit, there's for most people, a little bit of a letdown. And I see that in my practice every single day.
So what are some of the things we can do to combat this? And also, what should we be looking out for?
Yeah, so what we plan for, it's almost like I liken it to planning a wedding. What we often do is we plan and we plan and we plan for the wedding day, but we don't plan for the marriage.
I've heard that.
Right?
Our divorce rates kind of show that, too.
Right? And so, in a way, we plan and plan for the holidays, but we don't plan for what's next, what the rest of the winter is going to be about. So if we think about that and really consider, like, okay, how do we want our January to go? And I'm not one necessarily to make all sorts of, like, grand New Year's resolutions, but to make some plan for what you want in those next few months is really, really important, to have some way to engage and fill your time and make sure that you are busy enough and getting back to normal so that you feel like, okay, I don't feel that let down and I've got kind of this bottom for the sadness or the letdown or the loneliness that I could feel otherwise.
I think just letting people know that this is something that's a real phenomenon that happens after the holidays is half the battle.
Absolutely. You've got to attend to it, you know? So that's what I encourage people to do in the next week or two, is to think about, like, okay, I'm going to feel some of these feelings. So what do I do to mitigate that? You know what I mean? Do I want to get back to the gym, not just to lose weight, not just to get in great shape, but to engage, you know, to be with people and to not just kind of isolate, which is what we tend to do when we feel down and what we tend to do kind of almost naturally in the winter months.
And maybe hold back from drinking the extra glass of wine.
Probably not the worst idea.
Well, yes, because when you're lonely, that's what you tend to fall back on, some of those comfort.
Yes.
Whether it's overeating or having that extra slice of cake.
Yeah,
or
we can fall into maladaptive habits on occasion. And to do something adaptive and productive and progressive is probably good.
Well, we have a lot more coming up with Dr. John Duffy right here on WGN Radio. Back on the Anna DeVellante Show, I'm Jisoo Ki filling in, and we are joined by clinical psychologist, best-selling author, and life coach, Dr. John Duffy. With a title like that, John, you should be able to solve all of our problems.
Let's hope so. My God.
So we were talking about some of the emotional pitfalls that happen post-holidays, and you were giving us some helpful tips on what to look out for. But at what point do you realize, and should you say to yourself, wow, you know, I think I'm having trouble handling this on my own. I think I might need to go see someone.
So some of us have kind of an instinct for that. If we're used to, on occasion, seeking out therapy, we know, like, this doesn't feel quite right. I don't quite feel myself, so I'm going to go back to my therapist, and I'm going to kind of, like, just do a little tune-up to get back to where I was. The metric I encourage people to use is, is it interrupting my life? Is it interfering with the way I function day to day? In other words, do I opt out of things I would normally do?
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do I not go to the grocery store when I would normally
That's
go?
That's powerful knowledge.
Yeah. Do I not make the phone call I would normally make?
And then that also feeds into the isolation you were talking about, because
yeah.
you're saying no to a lot of daily activities that you would engage in.
Yes. And a lot of this has to do with isolation, whether we're talking about depression or anxiety, regardless of label. If you find yourself isolating and opting out, that's probably a time to reach out more. And a therapist is always a good idea.
Well, I don't know a person, including myself, that hasn't suffered from depression at some point in time, whether it's seasonal, whether it's clinical, whatever is happening, whether
right.
it's grief related because you've lost someone that you love. But often playing alongside of depression is anxiety.
Yes.
And this is an area that you have felt very passionate about. In fact, you've just written a book, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, that's just come out, a complete guide to your child's stressed, depressed, expanded, and amazing adolescence. I think that those are great descriptive words, because childhood is all of that.
It is all of that, right now, more than ever.
And of course, as a parent, you want nothing more than to take care of your child's problems and make life easier to navigate for them.
Absolutely. And it's trickier now than it used to be, G, because in the past, parents have always known a lot about what their children's lives encompass and entail. We're the first group of parents now that don't know what our children are up against. We don't know the anxieties they have. We don't know the nature of kind of the draw to social media. We don't know what they're watching or what they're listening to or what their social and academic stressors are. So we have to learn from them. And in the past, I think parents have always been handing down wisdom. Now we have to learn it from our kids.
Well, we were just talking about earlier in the show how social media didn't play a part in either of our adolescents.
Right.
But it is a huge factor in the lives of high schoolers, middle schoolers, just how complex. I can't even imagine growing up now.
It's fascinating to talk to kids about it, because it has dimension that you wouldn't necessarily anticipate. Not only is it a way they communicate, you know, and connect with one another in a really positive way, but it also plays a heavy role in their self-worth and their self-esteem, for better or for worse. And they can always find somebody that they can compare themselves to, either on Instagram or Snapchat or even on Facebook, that seems to have more likes or seems to look better or is at the better party. So they can get quashed pretty readily, pretty easily.
Okay, so here's what I'm wondering. I know growing up, we would write in our diary or we would journal. I don't know if it was such a big thing for guys as it was for girls. But now it seems kids do less of that, and they're putting their entire lives, thoughts, feelings on social media.
Yes.
But it's exposed and out there for everyone to see.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a tough lesson for kids to recognize when they're what some people call sad fishing, expressing like, I'm having a hard time right now, I could really use some support. That some people can be really cruel, right? And so you're going to get some support. Sad fishing.
Instead
yes.
of catfishing.
Yes.
Oh, what exactly. a great term.
Right? Yeah. I learned about this. I learn about all these things from kids I work with, but this is something relatively new that I heard about. That idea of putting out there, you know, I'm having a really difficult time. And oftentimes, more often than not, there's a lot of support for that person. On occasion, they get trolled pretty hard,
mm-hmm.
and so it's counterproductive. And so kids have to be prepared for that, and parents have to know a little bit about all of this stuff in order to guide their kids through it.
So what should parents be looking out for?
Yeah, so with your kids, what you're looking out for is any dramatic change in their behavior or their expressed affect, the way they say that they feel. So if suddenly your child seems to be isolating, a little bit sad, reluctant to do things they would normally do, then you want to start thinking about whether either you need to speak with them more, which I love when parents do that, or whether it would be good for them to see a therapist and get in touch with what's going on with them really deep down.
What was one surprising tidbit that you discovered as you wrote this book about parenting the new teen?
Yeah.
In the age of anxiety.
It's kind of what you started with. I was working with a young man and his father, and his dad, in an effort to align himself with his son and let him know he understood, said, "Son, I've been there. I was 16 myself. I know what it's like to be a teenager."
Yikes, I already know.
And his son said, "You were never a teenager. You have no idea what it's like for my generation right now." So it's that revelation that, wow, we really don't know the lives of these kids. And so they're suffering in silence and without guides. And that's part of the reason I wrote the book, is to let parents know with some degree of urgency that they need us badly.
Well, the teens are suffering, and then I imagine the parents are suffering too, because they don't have a way to relate.
Right.
Because for the parents that do realize, wow, this is not how I grew up, how do I cope?
Right. And part of us think that what our kids are concerned about is really inane, too. Like, oh, come on. We're really concerned about
a big deal.
Snapchat check. We just let that go. And yet, if we were 15, we would be all about this. So we have to be prepared to join our kids where they are, listen to what they're listening to, understand what Snapchat and Instagram and VSCO are and all this stuff they're drawn to. We need to know at least a little bit about it.
Wow. So parents really need to engage in what's happening on their teen's cell phone.
Absolutely.
That's what it sounds like.
Definitely. Definitely. and on their game console, if they're inclined that way. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we're talking about anxiety, your new book, Parenting the New Teen and the Aging of Anxiety. But anxiety is something that people of all ages suffer from. Some tips for adults that are suffering from anxiety. You say this is a very anxiety prone time. I think a lot of people feel as though it's a new year, so it means things have to change for me. Life has to be different for me right on the dot on January 1st, 2020. And now this is the end of a decade. So this next decade has to be a lot better than this past decade.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that being stacked up on top of the new year, new decade.
I'm under anxiety right now. Can you tell?
Let's work this through. So I think one of the primary tips is to recognize all of us suffer from anxiety at least some of the time. So to the extent that you can be present in a moment, and that suggests a little bit of meditation over the course of your day. And I don't mean, 2 hours of meditation and yoga and, you don't have to do that. But if you take 10 minutes out of your day and you download the Calm app or the Headspace app and you just breathe, you can find your way to the present. And the more you can be present in a moment and breathe deeply, the less likely anxiety is going to get a hold of you.
So, Dr. Duffy, I can just envision a listener right now as they're driving or maybe they're in the kitchen doing chores, rolling their eyes when you said meditation and taking deep breaths.
Yeah.
But there is a reason why everyone is talking about this. This is real, and it doesn't have to be some extensive undertaking.
Absolutely not. No. And you don't even have to be good at it. So a lot of people say, I can't do that. I can't meditate well. And that's not the end of the world. I think if you just sit down, I do this every couple of days. I sit down with one of these apps. I am not a very good meditator, but I can find a little peace of mind when I sit down and I get guided through one of these just breathing exercises. So, and part of it can be, it doesn't have to be just listening to an app. It can be taking a jog, walking around the block. There are a lot of things we can do that are meditative. We can read, we can hang out with our pets. Sometimes that can be a meditative exercise,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely a de-stressing effect from spending time with your pet. Whether it's a cat or a dog or a bird or even a fish, it's great to have that in your life, a little bit of love. So we have about a minute left here with Dr. John Duffy, who I have to thank for being in studio with us today during a very busy holiday week. He's a clinical psychologist, bestselling author of Parenting the Teen in the New Age, The New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, along with The Available Parent. So one other little nugget of advice before we have to go here from you.
Yeah. Anytime you feel like you're a little over your skis emotionally, and most of us get in this spot on occasion in our lives, and most of us adults are reluctant to seek out help. But I find that you can find your center very, very quickly, whether you're anxious or depressed, and they tend to run together. seek out help and sit down for a couple of sessions with a therapist and work it through, and you will get to where you need to be pretty rapidly.
And where can people find out more information about your books and everything that you offer?
Yeah, you should find everything about me at my website, drjohnduffy.com.
Okay. Well, you know what's so funny, Dr. Duffy, is that I have just recently downloaded a meditation app, and that's what I've been doing.
So hey,
that's
how about
to help
that?
Me with my anxiety.
Right.
So no need to fear. You can handle 2020, everybody, and these final days of 2019 headed to 2020 as well. This has been the Anna DeVellante Show. This is Jisoo Kyi filling in. We appreciate you so much for listening, and of course, love that you've been able to learn a little bit, and hopefully you're going to get online dating if you're looking for love, and you're going to take a little better care of yourself, according to Dr. Duffy. Just follow some of his tips that he's given so far. So thank you so much for listening. Coming up after the break, we have college football for you guys. Stick around.